Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good morning. Welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. Today, we are breaking down the Big 12. The Pac-12. We did the Big 12 last week. The Pac-12. That's shows you. You know what? That was a total Pac-12 thing to do, too. You know, give me the Pac-12 network. I'll remember that we're previewing your conference. So we are doing the Pac-12. It is. I enjoy watching it. Pac-12 After Dark and things like that. But before we get into it, we have a word from our sponsors over at Spotify Green Room. It is a live audio-only sports talk platform. It's free to download to and use. You can talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app, free in the iOS or Android app store. Create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the group. And we'll be going live on Spotify Green Room when the season starts. So try and find us there. TJ, Pac-12, what are your initial thoughts?
Yeah, I like the conference. I think there's a lot of very interesting teams here. I think that the divisions are fairly evenly balanced. I think that the North is a bit top-heavy, while the South is a bit more balanced. But overall, probably a bit stronger when you look at the overall depth of it. But I think that there's some really interesting teams that could, if a few things go right, could challenge for playoff position or playoff berth, something that the Pac-12 really needs. You know, they need to have a team consistently in the playoff, which has not happened for them since moving to the playoff. They've not been consistently in that group. I'll start with kind of my pick for the champion of this league, which is Oregon. I think that they are recruiting under Mario Cristobal at a level that, if they develop that talent appropriately, is going to see them kind of dominating this conference the same way that maybe Clemson dominates the ACC. They are, you know, moving light years away from everybody else in the conference from a recruiting standpoint. The big question for them is going to be at quarterback with Anthony Brown. You know, can he kind of play over a, you know, a full schedule, doing the things that they need him to do with the skill players around him and the defense that Oregon has, some real superstars on defense? Are they going to be able to get enough at quarterback to challenge for a playoff position and be more than just the Pac-12's best team, to be an actual title contender? But I think you have to be impressed with what Mario Cristobal's building in Eugene.
Yeah, he is. They do have to replace Tyler Shock with Anthony Brown. Shock is actually at Texas Tech.
Right.
It's an interesting move down there. Oregon does have some bumps in the road they'll need to clear. They do have to go to Ohio State, and that's like I believe a 9 a.m. body clock kickoff time for Oregon.
And the Pac-12 desperately
not happy about it. They desperately need to win, and they're not happy about the start time.
Well, yeah, and winning may be far-fetched. They need a really good showing.
Yeah.
You know, there are probably, I don't know, one, maybe two teams that I think you could say the expectation would be to go to Ohio State and win. One of them, by the way, is definitely not Michigan. But I think there's probably one or two teams in the nation that could have an expectation of going there. Oregon is probably not going to have an expectation of going to Columbus and winning, but the Ducks and the conference desperately needs a good showing. Because if they go there and get housed, does it really matter what happens the rest of the season for them? You know, like if they go 11-1 and win the Pac-12, but they got shellacked in Columbus,
they're going to need somebody else to lose.
What else happens? Yeah. You know, so they really need a good performance. A win would be wonderful and would accelerate what they're building, but they have to have a good performance there. Now that Fresno State game in the opener, they can't completely overlook that one either. They should be able to handle Fresno State, but if they're not focused for that, you know, it could be a bit of a fight for them.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other thing they have to do, Washington's going to be very good as well in that Pac-12 North. And they have to go to Washington.
And Utah. They have to go to Utah too.
And so. Utah. So that's a tough, tough schedule. Their other road games are at Stanford, at UCLA. And then I think they play a Thursday night game or Friday night game against Cal. But yeah, it's, as you said, with that Ohio State game, the Pac-12 has, I think, three or four games to show off what they have and to make a statement. It's Oregon at Ohio State, Washington at Michigan, UCLA is hosting LSU. I think there's another one in there as well, but I don't know off the top of my head. But you got, you know, you have a chance to make a statement with those three games. And yeah, Michigan's not what they used to be, but that's a big game for both programs. For a West Coast team to come east and beat a Big Ten team, that'll be a big deal. And for Michigan, Washington should be in the top 10, or at least top 15 going into that game. And, you know, to get a home win against that could vault them this season, take some of the heat off of Jim Harbaugh as well. But, yeah, Oregon, it's a coin flip between them and Washington. I think it's going to come down to that game up at Washington. And I'll give the slight end. And – edge to the Huskies. They do have their quarterback returning in Dylan Morris. In four games last year, he threw for nearly 900 yards, four touchdowns. He did throw three picks, but they have their basically everybody who carried the ball last year is back. Their leading rusher averaged is Sean McGrew. He averaged 5.3 yards per carry. They get Cade Otton back, who averaged 14.3 yards per catch and three touchdowns. They do lose Ty Jones and Puka Nacua from the receiving core, but they get a lot of their defense back. And I think it's the second year under Jimmy Lake. And I think he's going to have his team ready to go and his feet a little bit more under him than having a first year in 2020 with COVID as well. Their schedule, we talked about the game at Michigan. They don't have to play USC. They get Oregon State at home. So out of the South, they draw Colorado, Arizona State, and at Arizona. So you get a pretty easy draw out of the South, as opposed to Oregon, who has to go to Utah. You get Colorado and one other team. And hold on, make sure I'm looking at the right team. And at Oregon. Well, Oregon State's in the north, but they have a harder draw out of the South Division. Do the Ducks. So they get Arizona is their other one. So I think that game against Utah comes into play for the Ducks as well. Who do you have in the winning the South Division? And I've changed my mind on this because the team that I thought could win it has now become my most disappointed team.
I ended up choosing Utah, which I don't love that pick. I do think that Charlie Brewer, that's a big addition, big addition for them. And then Britt Covey, you know, back is a really incredible all-purpose player. And then a really good offensive line. You know, you would expect that from Utah. And then you would expect a very strong defense. I think that they do have a couple of concerns there, but, you know, it should be, you know, they return 8 starters and it's a team that was better than expected on defense in 2020. So, I like the defense. I like the addition of Brewer. Some questions on the skill position players outside of Covey. Good offensive line. Now, the question mark for Utah is going to be that schedule. They do have to go. They get Arizona State at home, which was big for me. But you're going at USC. You're hosting Oregon. So that's tough. And then the non-conference, you play BYU, of course. It's at BYU and then a weird one at San Diego State. So kind of the odd non-conference schedule where they're playing one home game, and that's against Weber State, and then 2 road games against non-Power 5 schools. A little bit of an odd schedule there for them. But I don't trust USC, and I don't really trust Arizona State, although I do think the Sun Devils are the most talented team in the South. I ended up going with Utah just as a bit of a outlier pick.
Oh, I'm going to disagree with you, and I'm going to take the team you don't trust in USC. I think they're super talented. You got Keaton Slovis, sure, who's arguably the best quarterback in the league. You also have Drake London, who's arguably the best wide receiver in the league. You have another second team, all Pac-12, you know, running back in there, or a third team, and Keontae Ingram. There's just a lot, too much talent on offense. On defense, you have Drake Jackson. You have Chris Steele. Talk about a good, you know, a great college football name. Parker Lewis is a second team, all Pac-12 kicker. You have Isaiah Polamalu at DB as well, and I'm gonna mess it up anyway. But a good Tuli, the defensive lineman at USC as well. I think this is the year USC wins the South. Their schedule's favorable. They have to go. They draw Washington State. They draw Oregon State, and they draw who else out of the North? And Cal out of the North. That's if you're going to handpick your draw out of the North, that's pretty good. They do have to go to Notre Dame on October 23rd, but that's not a non-conference game. And then they end the season with BYU at home. So BYU's littered all over this Pac-12 schedule. I think it looks like they have, it's almost like BYU's playing a Pac-12 schedule. They play Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, USC, Washington State. So, you know, a nice little schedule for BYU. But enough on that tangent. I think USC wins it. I was going to go with the dark horse and say Arizona State. However, the crap has hit the fan in Tempe, right. In Tempe, right. And who knows how big of a distraction that's going to be. I really like Jaden Daniels Daniels there. I like their skill players. I thought Herm Edwards is a good X's and O's coach. But they're not following the recruiting rules. And I think that staff, they're going to end up cleaning house, whether it be in the middle of the season. It's going to be a cloud hanging over that program this season. And it's a shame because Arizona State has always been like a fun watch for me. Yeah, they're playing in the desert. It's usually hot. That stadium's rocking when they're good. And it's just, you know, it's one of those Pac-12 teams that, hey, it's the 9:30 or 10 o'clock game. You know, either DVR it or, you know, watch it while we're typing up stuff from the earlier games and things like that. So that's Arizona State by default is my most disappointing team because I don't see how they're not going to be a total disappointment unless they win the conference and Herm Edwards and his staff keep their jobs and there are no sanctions. And I don't think any of those three are happening. So who's your most disappointing team?
I went with Arizona State specifically for those reasons. I think it's likely that there's some type of implosion that occurs as a result of all of this. We've seen an impact recruiting some already with guys that were committed kind of looking around. I think that's a pretty good indication that they are hearing, hey, this is probably not going to turn out well. And based on the, you know, what we're reading about it, I think that's a very safe assumption. So it's very possible that team, you know, somewhat implodes. I'm not going to say quit because I don't think that's fair in pretty much almost any scenario. And, it's, you know, I don't think they're going to quit on each other or on the staff. But I do think that it's possible that maybe some self-imposed bans occur during the season to try and mitigate the blow from the from whatever would happen with the NCAA. Maybe you self-impose, and if that's the case, you know, you often see guys opt out because what are they playing for at that point? You often see teams kind of phone it in if things start to go a little sideways. So I went with Arizona State mainly for the off-field stuff. And, you know, I do think that it makes sense for a disappointment to come out of the South. I think there's three teams in the South that probably have somewhat realistic expectations of winning that division. Well, you know, by nature, two of those teams are going to be a bit disappointed with how things play out. And I think USC more talented than the other two sides. I do think that they clearly like Clay Helton, not necessarily the fans and administration, but I think the players do. I think they're going to fight hard for him because they know they have to. It seems like any chance that USC gets to let go of Helton and snag somebody else, I think they'd probably try and take it. And so I, given all of those factors, which are off-field things, admittedly, I'll take Arizona State as the kind of the disappointment. And also, you know, they do go to Utah, which I think is going to be a win for the Utes, given Charlie Brewer and the impact I think he can have on the offense. So I'm taking Utah to win the division, which means I'm taking Arizona State to disappoint a little bit.
Yeah, my surprise team, might be Utah as well for the reasons that you give. You know, I think Washington might sneak up on people too, just because Oregon's such a brand name and things like that. But let's get to the rest of the conference with California. I mean, it's California's been, you know, they went 1-3 last year. Their only win was a good win over Oregon, but they only played four games. They bring back Damian Moore at running back. They bring back Chase Garbers at quarterback. Just how high is their ceiling? They probably should go to a bowl game. They get a tough trip to TCU. You play a tough Nevada team in the opener, and then you get Sacramento State at home. You have to go to Washington, to Oregon. You draw USC, Arizona, and Colorado out of the South. You have to, and then you end the season at UCLA and at Stanford. 6 wins might be their ceiling. That's a tough right. schedule.
Right. Yep, it is. And that's another game that, you know, you kind of want to ask the athletic director, why? Why are we playing TCU? You know, for where the program is at, it seems to me that that would be the type of program where you want to schedule 3 wins in non-conference. And it does not make much sense to me to play a game like that. There's a lot of situations around like that, and I think Indiana was guilty of that in the past.
Yep.
You know, where the program is at has changed. Therefore, your scheduling philosophy changes a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. For Cal, for where their program currently is, the only thing that makes sense to me is get 3 wins on that schedule in the non-conference and try to become a consistent bowl team. So that TCU game doesn't make much sense to me. And given what we were saying about TCU earlier, I think that's a win for the Horned Frogs. So you're already starting, you know, needing 4 conference wins just to get to a bowl game. And I think 6 wins is probably the ceiling. Chase Garbers has to have a better year for them. And it's a bit unfair to you know, base anything off of last season for teams from the Pac-12, but
yeah.
He has to be one of the better quarterbacks in this conference for Cal to have a shot at exceeding that 6 wins.
Let's look at Oregon State. Oregon State could have been a surprise team as well. They're bringing in quarterback Tristan Gebba. He's back. He threw for 824 yards last year. They did go 2-5, so they played, you know, they played more than 4 games. They beat California and Oregon last year. As an IU fan, how Oregon went to the Fiesta Bowl with the automatic bid. And this is why I think the Pac-12 are big losers on this 12-team playoff, is that, mm-hmm. you know, I perception matters. And if they don't have an automatic bid to the playoff or an automatic top 4, or things like that, and they're going to be left out. But Oregon State, they open up at Purdue, which is a tough game for both squads. And I think it can set the tone for the season for both squads. They do play 13 games since they play Hawaii. They get Idaho, who's another common opponent for Indiana. They do have to go to USC and to Oregon.
Yeah.
And they get Washington at home. So I think, can this be the year that Oregon State gets back to a bowl game? Maybe. Can they build off of that win against Oregon? They did have a close loss against Utah as well, and a close loss against Stanford in a 2-score game against Arizona State. I think a bowl game should be on the table. Should it be the expectation? Maybe not. You know, you're probably looking between 5 and 7 wins, but it's not a do or die. I don't think it's a do or die season for Jonathan Smith, who had to dig out of the hole that was left by the previous staff. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what they do. They won 5 games, and they went 5-7 in 2019, and between, you know, 17 and 18, they won a combined 3 games. So I think they're on the up and up in Beaverton.
They're going to miss Jamar Jefferson, who was a really good running back for them, a guy that, you know, definitely was under the radar given where he's playing. But Jefferson, you know, typically I don't worry too much about replacing running backs given the nature of the position, but Jamar Jefferson was somebody that they can't just plug a guy in and get that same production. So that'll be a big miss for them. They're going to need somebody else to step up. I think that they have, you know, good along the rest of the offense. The offensive line gets back all five starters, and then they've got some really good. I shouldn't overstate. They have decent but experienced wide receivers and tight ends. So you're not worried about those spots, but finding a running back that can somewhat replicate what Jamar Jefferson did. And then much like other teams that are kind of towards the bottom, they have to find a capable quarterback. I personally don't think Tristan Gebbia is that guy. He's certainly going to be the one that gets the first shot at it. And very interesting game in West Lafayette to start off the season. I think you're right. That's a big one for both programs.
Yeah. Stanford's kind of hit the skids a little bit.
You
know, for the last couple of years, they host Oregon and Washington. So they do get the big boys at home. And I think that's a big deal. For that, they did go 4-2 last year, but again, it's a COVID year. They went 4-8 in 2019 after going 9-4 and winning, you know, 9-9 and 10 the 3 years prior to that. So, which team shows up? Is it going to be the 4-8 team, or is it going to be the team that won 18 games over a 3 year span? 28 games in a 3 year span from 2016 to 2018. They did knock off California, Washington. They began the year 0-2 last year. They won their last four. So they do have whatever momentum you want to take from 2020, they have that. They need to replace their quarterback. Davis Mills is out. Jack West is in, but they have Tanner McKee, who's a freshman. Phil Steele ranked him as the fifth best quarterback recruit in the country. He might be the guy to get the start when they face Kansas State in the opener. It's not an easy way to open the season. Again, I think that's a 9 a.m. or a 10 a.m. body clock start for Stanford. It's another one of these Pac-12 games where you could show people what you have as well against another non-conference, you know, Power 5 opponent. And then you have to go at USC, and then you go back east to Vanderbilt in week 3, which, you know, Vanderbilt's not very good, but it's another – you're traveling, you know, to Texas in week 1 to face Kansas State, and then you're traveling to Tennessee in week 3. It's a lot of miles early in the season. Get UCLA at home, Oregon at home. You have to travel to Arizona State, which I believe is a Friday night game in the desert. Those are always tough no matter what's happening at Arizona State. Then you have to go to Washington State, and you end the year at with Notre Dame at home. It's a tough schedule, and you know that. TJ, does Stanford have the path to a bowl game?
In my opinion, no. I do think that the David Shaw tenure or era has kind of run its course. I don't think that they're in any mood to change things there, but I don't see where there's going to be a resurgence to get them back to winning 8 games a year every year like they were for the earlier to mid part of this decade. You know, I mean, they're playing all 12 games are Power 5 opponents. Now, some of those Power 5 opponents are not very good, Vanderbilt being a good example, but still, you're not getting any rest. And I think the schedule is difficult. I think there's question at quarterback, and I personally have not seen the same level of line play that we came to expect with Stanford, you know, that physicality, that has been replaced. Stanford used to be the bully of the Pac-12. That has not been the case for a while. Oregon has kind of usurped that, and Utah has usurped that. So they're going to have to find some type of new identity. And honestly, I don't think that they do have a path to a bowl game. I think it'll be another disappointing year for Stanford, and they're going to ask some questions about how much longer they should give David Shaw, a guy that at one time was considered a surefire, you know, top 10 coach that was going to end up in the NFL one day. You know, that's something to be said for kind of getting stale at a place, and I think that might have happened here.
Yeah, so he's entering his 11th year at Stanford, so he's been there for a long time. We've got, I believe, four teams left: Colorado, UCLA, Washington State, and Arizona. Which one of those teams has the best year? Which teams are bowl teams? And, you know, can Colorado jump up, and can Arizona jump up and get off the mat a little bit?
So Arizona, not yet. They were dreadful, and I think they're kind of restarting with things. Don Brown, I think it's a good landing spot for him at defensive coordinator, but it's going to take some time to build that. I think Colorado, I don't really trust what I saw from them in the abbreviated season last year. Better than I thought they'd be, but not really trusting that. The team that jumps out to me is UCLA. You know, I think that there is a chance here for UCLA to be better than people expect. Zach Charbonnet transferring from Michigan, as well as Britton Brown at tailback. I think that's a good 1-2 combo for what Chip Kelly wants to do. Dorian Thompson-Robinson really has to take a step forward. That's kind of what we always expect with Chip Kelly, is him to not recruit at the highest level, but to get guys that fit what he wants to do and then develop them, do things his way. And it kind of hasn't come to fruition, but the offense definitely showed a bit improvement in 2020. The defense was much better than they had been. It's a tough schedule, but I do think UCLA does get to a bowl game, show some progression. Definitely not what they thought they were getting when they signed Chip Kelly. They're only 10-21 so far, but I think it'll be a little better this season than it has been for the Bruins.
Yeah, and they, you know, they have a chance to beat an SEC team at home too when LSU comes to town on September 4th. They get a nice week zero game as well against Hawaii. But yeah, it's going to be tough. They have to go. They get Washington and Oregon back to back. You throw Arizona State there in, you know, in a trip to Arizona at USC. So it's going to be a tough sledding. But anyway, that does it for who's your player of the year in the Pac-12, by the way.
You know, given the lack of top end quarterbacks, which typically is what I would kind of default to, and really no amazing standout tailbacks either, I think the best player in this league is Kayvon Thibodeau at Oregon. He's a monster defensive end or defensive lineman that Oregon's going to move all over the place. And I think that Cristobal is going to find some really good uses for him. Plus, I chose Oregon as my conference champ, so best player on the best team for me, and I went Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah, I think Keaton Slovis has a shot. USC quarterback, they get all the lights and all that stuff, especially if they end up winning the conference. But Thibodeau is definitely easy. They're definitely the player of the year or the defensive player of the year. You know, at least the defensive player of the year, should he stay healthy in the Pac-12. But that does it for our Pac-12 preview show. Thanks, TJ, for joining us today. You can follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Follow us at HoosierHuddle.com as well. We're currently selling our pre-sale stuff for Hoosier Huddle gear. It's the pre-sale ends on August 18th, and it is guaranteed delivery by September 4th for kickoff. We have hoodies, tank tops, t-shirts, crew necks, hats, a lot of nice stuff that was put together. So check that out if you haven't, and we'll be back previewing the SEC next week. Thanks and have a great day.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.